It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Wednesday, September 17, 2025. Thank you for downloading. We go west to Utah and talk to Paul Charchian. Boy, he's going to have a thing or two to say about his Vikings, huh? Today, the hits keep coming as one Aaron Jones on the injured reserve for the next 4 weeks with a bad hamstring, groin, quad, calf, something with his leg. Suffice to say, these running backs, it's a rough business. They get to 30, and they start falling apart pretty quick. We'll talk to Charge about that and a bunch of other stuff in just a minute. First, though, this email, you can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. Steve Carter writes to say, I am done. Oh, this is like the Rocky Blyer. That's it. I'm done. Let's see if I got to find that one there. Like, it's never good when I see that right away. Rocky and his friends from, there we go, Rocky Blyer. Rocky Blyer, I'm done. Oh, hold on. Let me get this routed correctly. Hold on a second. Oh, it is routed correctly. I just don't have the pot up. How's the microphone today? I've switched back to the Sennheiser RE20. But it may not be the mic that's doing it. It might be the Rodecaster Duo. A lot of positive feedback from yesterday's podcast that the audio sounded even better, crisper, more shiny, if you will, deeper processed. You know, there's all kinds of things on audio processing for microphones, very complicated things that I barely know much about, de-essers, compressors, noise gates, harmonizers, vocalizers, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of stuff. Anyway, he starts, Steve Carter, by saying, I am done.
Steelers, I'm done. I'm done. Ripped my heart out.
I'm done. I feel like this is how Steve Carter feels about me right now.
Here's my take on the Steelers. I'm done.
Okay. I am done, right, Steve. Please forgive me if you have indeed addressed it on your pod. I've re-listened to every episode since I don't think I missed it. Well, I'm sorry to make you go back and do that. I cannot fucking believe you can't even mention Charlie Kirk. You mention everything coming and going about every fucking thing, but not this. I've been with you for over 20 years. I pay for my subscription up front for the year because I just knew I wasn't going anywhere. You are my main guy to listen to. I am so shook right now. My wife loves you too, and we just kept rewinding and listening. Both of us are like, there's no fucking way he didn't mention it. The Oregon Ducks coach had a great interview. You could have played it to tie it into your sports angle. I'm blown away. Disappointed. Disgusted. Wow. I'm done, he says.
Here's my take on the Steelers. I'm done.
Again.
They've ripped my heart out.
Again, please forgive me if you did in fact mention it, writes Steve Carter. I will profusely apologize if that is the case. This hurts, man. We listen as a family every single episode, and we never miss. I hold you in such high regard is the reason this hurts so bad, but I could never allow myself to listen to another episode knowing you couldn't even bring up Charlie's name. I can't help but feel there are a lot of us that feel this way. I hope I'm wrong. Steve Carter in Greenbrier County, West Virginia. Thank you, Steve, and your commitment to listening to me with not just you, but your wife and your family is tremendous. No, I've not mentioned it yet, but I am going to mention, to offer some thoughts now about my thinking on this and everything else. First of all, the day that this occurred, I was shook. Like everyone else, I said, what the fuck? Where are we right now as a society? And is there any road back to normalcy of any sense? And I'd like to say in the following days that I found some threads and reassurances that as bad as this was, no, you know what? There is a roadmap back. I wish I could say that. I'd love to say that, but guess what? I feel more pessimistic than ever. I have gone from disgusted to full-on disheartened, defeated almost. There is only so much any of us can do, and there is so much craziness in what a large number of people have been quite literally hypnotized to believe, hypnotized into hatred for a person they didn't even know or didn't even listen to, who did not affect their lives one way or the other. The constant drumbeat of he's all the ists out there, racist, misogynist. What are the other ones? Racist, misogynist, sexist, fascist, all the ists hammered into these people's heads. All the people getting canceled right now for celebrating this, I'm not going to say good per se, but it is disheartening. It is demoralizing to see the reaches that these people exist in. And so many elementary school teachers or younger, doctors, airline pilots, and others, you're like, wow, what on earth? There was the story about the woman, the nurse in New Jersey, who called out the doctor who said, yeah, he deserved it in front of a patient at a nurse's station. The instinct from the hospital was suspend the nurse, protect the doctor. That is the most disheartening thing right there. They eventually said, oh, no, we never suspended the nurse, and she's still here, and the doctor has resigned. And the people that are getting fired or resigning, they're going to pop back up again. They will not see the light and go, God, you know what? This is crazy. You can't celebrate somebody's life being taken. Somebody who all he did was go around and talk on campuses and engage in debate. I even saw someone, stupid as a box of rocks, try to compare Charlie Kirk to a list of other people who had done actual physical wrong in the world. And I was just like, how dumb are people? And the answer is, they're so dumb, you can't even comprehend it. How hypnotized are they? You don't even know. But as far as me talking about it, I wrestled with this. What this podcast is an entertainment product. And yes, generally speaking, I'll talk about anything and everything sprinkled in with mainly sports. And you know where I stand. You know basically how I see the world. And for those of you that are like, thank God, somebody who's sane and reasonable, well, I appreciate that. And I'm glad that I can share that perspective with you. But we are so far down the rabbit hole at this point it's getting hard for me to even go, how much time do I want to spend on this? Where do I want to go? How much do I want to say? Not out of necessarily fear of getting canceled myself. I don't really fear that. I'm just saying, how much of it is proper product for what this podcast is? How much are people going to want? Do they want to hear it right away on a Church Wednesday out of the gate? I don't know, but I'm putting it here prominently because my friend Steve here was, poor guy, was rewinding episodes. Going, I could have thought he must have talked about it by now. There's a lot of layers to this, and I could have 12 takes, let's say, hypothetically. Let's say I had 12 takes, 12 opinions, 12 things that stuck out to me to say, you know what, here's one of my big takeaways. Here's one of 12 big takeaways. If I only hit on 9 of the takeaways that you want me to hit on instead of 12, then you're going to come at me. You're going to go, I can't believe you said this. There is this instinct to argue with anybody and everybody regarding the scope and depth and conviction of their opinions, and I don't want to be dragged down into that quagmire because I have this habit of responding to every email, at least the ones that are sincere and genuine, and debating them on the merits, and that's time and work. And I'm like, okay, if I say I can't believe X about this horrible incident, or what we should really do is Y, it's going to generate that exchange, and it's just more work. Apparently, there's a general in our United States military who told his two little daughters, I've got the best news ever for you, and then told the news of Charlie Kirk being assassinated in cold blood. That's the sickest sicko stuff ever, and that there hasn't been an immediate court-martialing, an imprisonment of this asshole, and or whatever other mechanisms there may be in time. By the way, the guy's wife is an elementary school teacher, apparently. Jesus, God, what is wrong with everyone? I also, and this is something that I wrestled with because I thought if I say this, there's going to be people going, how can you possibly say that? I have a great degree of empathy with the family and the father because they raised this young man, this child, with love, and he was well cared for, middle class, upper middle class, and because of the internet and Reddit and subreddits and who knows what else mixed in there, decided to trade in his entire life to murder somebody he didn't know, that he was hypnotized to hate on the internet. That's this kid's whole life that was thrown away for this. How fucked is that? And of course, I am extremely sympathetic and have empathy for Charlie Kirk's wife and kids. But the whole thing is such a mess on so many levels. And then there's parts of it that fascinate me without judgment, without victim blaming here. The part about the security leaves me completely baffled. I think, my God, after what happened in Butler, knowing how much of a target conservative commentators, especially Charlie Kirk, are. He apparently carried his own security with him everywhere, and it was robust. How could they not have one person or two people on the rooftops with binoculars and radios? How could they not have a simple consumer DJI drone circling just to see? How? I don't understand. That's not victim blaming. That's just me, the curious mind in me going, wow. There are people that were trusted to protect Charlie Kirk and his life that now have to live for the rest of their lives knowing we failed. And what could they have done better? Or why did they not think of X, Y, or Z? That's just something that also is of curiosity to me. It's not the main point. It's just one of the points. And so therefore, you get into a thing like this. And by the way, we're learning more. That's another reason I kind of waited a bit. I'm like, okay, let's hold on. Let's wait. Let's hear a little bit more. There's going to be stuff coming out. I don't like the release of information currently by the FBI and Cash Patel and all that. I don't like how they're handling it. I don't know what to believe, because today they had a press conference showing text messages between the shooter and his roommate, and it looks quite fake. Not fake. It looks like it's staged. It looks like it was scripted. It looks like it was meant to go, okay, let's make sure this ends with me and nobody else. In a perfect world, they would be turning all of those computer servers inside out, and they would be going after what may or may not be a de facto terror cell that had planned this, that had supported this somehow. I don't know, but that in a perfect world would be it. I don't know if we're going to get to that. I don't know. It's very disheartening. And so therefore, on a sports podcast, I'm not your entertainment vehicle for this. Oh, believe me, you know the podcast that will happily discuss this and will follow every twist and turn along the way. They, of course, are also monetizing this interest. And I don't want to be part of monetizing or turning horrific real life situations into cash opportunities because, oh, you know what? We could do this. I mean, that's also part of the problem. So I'm not the place for it. I have thoughts. I want to hear and see more. I don't know the roadmap out, the amount of stupid and evil plus stupid that exists in some people is beyond comprehension. The complicity and evilness of the left-wing media is disgusting, but it was a known thing for many of us and has been for a long time. So they are performing exactly as I thought they would, which is quite depressing. And it just is staggering to think that this would be the case. Oh, another point I saw today, which was great. I guess a professor at the University of Wisconsin spoke up and published a statement saying, how come no university is speaking out, saying that the very beating heart of the university as a concept, a place for free exchange of ideas and a free place to speak your mind, even if somebody else thinks it's repulsive, that died last week. And it dies with every bit of silence by every university that doesn't speak out, that doesn't say, hey, this can't happen, that says, you know what, you may not like his views, but this is wrong. And it will lead to even worse things down the road. Absolute silence from the major university industrial complex, which has become nothing but a left-wing money laundering operation for rich parents who think they're doing the right thing. Let's send my kid to college so they can get a good education. And then, you know, all it does is basically indoctrinate them if they're influenceable. So, yeah, it's awful. We'll see what happens from here. There's other things out there in the news that I could go on about that make me go, are you fucking kidding me? Such as there was a beheading in Dallas by an illegal immigrant who was in an argument with a hotel manager. And there's footage of the guy taking the guy's head and throwing it and kicking it like a soccer ball in America, in Dallas, Texas. What in the ever-loving hell? Then there's the case of Luigi Mangione, who somehow had his charges against him for a cold-blooded, premeditated murder of an insurance executive in the dawn hours, had the charges reduced, several of them thrown out. His highest charge remaining is second-degree murder. I mean, I didn't even go to law school, and I know that first-degree murder means you planned to do it and you did it. How on earth did he not still have the first degree murder with the possibility for life in prison with no parole? Sadly, the state of New York does not have capital punishment. That handsome asshole deserves a bullet of his own. He's not even going to get that. Hell, at this pace, the way things are going, he might beat the rap. He might be free. And there are idiots out there. There's one woman that said, I'm in love with Luigi Mangione's AI, because I guess somebody cooked up his personality online as an AI agent, And so she says, I talk to him every night. I'm in love with him. This is a real person who has the right to vote. So yeah, there's just so much out there that's disheartening and depressing. It is a bit hard for me to get fully invested in giving you the rundown. Things used to be a lot more simple, a lot less high stakes when it came to the kerfuckery of the world at large. But now, we've gone to an entirely new level of crazy and disheartening. And I, like you, are probably having a hard time processing it. Cubs 4, Pirates 0, as the Cubs are not dead yet in the NL Central, still chasing down the Brewers with less than 2 weeks to play. Braves crush the Nationals. Game doesn't matter. Both teams are under 500 there. And the Phillies clinch a playoff spot on Monday night. So there you go. 6-5 win over the Dodgers. Yay, sports. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk fantasy football more with Church. You're listening to the Zabecast. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game. Delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Because the fiddling, all you got to do is crack open the lid to that thing.
That's it.
And that it will hijack the audio.
That's right.
One of the many features that Tim Cook and company have integrated to their whole ecosystem that pisses us off to no extent. But you know what?
Apple knows what you want and how, you know, how to, they'll tell you.
And you're going to get it good and hard. You're going to get it good and hard what you want or maybe don't want. And as fucking annoying as some of the things are, Church, still way better than the Android system by a million
it
miles.
Is unfortunately, and I just doubled down. I had to make the big decision this week. Do I stick with iPhone 14? I finally 14. Paid this thing off and 14. I'm back on 14. Or do I upgrade? And I looked at the iPhone 17 and decided there's nothing really groundbreaking there except the iPhone 17 Air.
You're getting that thing?
I am getting the thinner, lightweight phone because I hate having the heavy phone in my pocket all day.
You don't like the big iron, huh?
No end. No,
you know, Apple nerds are saying that Steve Jobs is absolutely losing his shit over the design of the iPhone Air because it goes against all of his design philosophy, that the giant pimple, the tuma, it's not the tuma that is the camera and the plateau on the top, violates his aesthetic. That the original iPhone would lay flat with no camera bump whatsoever on the table. Well, you're holding that up.
Not only does this iPhone 14, not only does it have the camera bump, but it's in one corner, so it doesn't even rest flat. It rocks back and forth both directions. You know it. You've got the same thing.
So I got the 14 here. I'm rocking the 16. I've already ordered the Big Iron 17. Will be in store by Saturday. I can pick it up in person. Can't wait. But the fact is, this old iPhone 14, I guess, had such little trade-in value. I kept it as a secondary camera, secondary device.
So I did mine. I also changed carriers because now that I'm in Virgin, my AT&T wasn't very good. So I'm trying T-Mobile, which has satellite cell service. And I'm very curious about that for when I go off-roading.
Right.
You know me.
Oh, yeah.
Known it off-roader. And they gave me 500 and change for iPhone 14 as part of the trade-in. Now, you know, I don't think it's actually worth $500. I don't think I go on the open market and get $500, but they've got me locked into another 3 years.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, I got a trade in on the 16, which is still in my possession, but this 14 is very valuable as a camera and also just a device that is, I'm showing charts, the red digital clock that I use for broadcast purposes that I can go ahead and stick this on a little stand. And it's very handy for remotes, wherever I'm out and doing stuff. So every now and then I keep one of my iPhones along the way because I'm going to want to use it. I have even older iPhones that I tried to resurrect. I went to the Verizon store and I said, hey, could I get this on a month-to-month pay you in cash kind of plan just as an emergency phone? And they tried to resurrect one of my old iPhones. They're like, no, this uses totally different cell technology. We don't even support that cell technology. You know?
I found iPhone Plus. Which was, or is it iPhone 2? Well, the one that came out after the original iPhone, I found it in a box. It's stunning to see how much has changed when you see the comparison from like 2010 to now. It's dramatic. And so then I'm like, oh, let's see if it boots up. So I charged it all up and everything. Won't even boot. Which is really disappointed. Yeah. I wanted to see the old operating system, the crude apps back then, the low-res display. and I couldn't see any of that.
Still was a miracle back in the day, and it'll turn 20 years old in 2027. Apple's apparently working on a clear glass case for the 2027 20th anniversary model. Foldable is coming next year. Foldable iPhone. And then they're going to come out with a clear case. So in other words, they're going to make the titanium and or the aluminum Gorilla Glass.
Clear.
Yeah.
Wow. Clear.
So you'll be able to see all the guts.
You'll see all the, you know, all the circuits and diodes or whatever. Yeah. There's no diodes. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that'd be total gimmick.
So what was the rationale for upgrading from 16 to 17? Because I'm trying to find anything really different. I didn't see that much. What am I missing?
It's better. I have something called money. Why not? Actually, I really had decided that I want to get back into the Big Iron for battery purposes and to be a big enough phone that I'm not worried about my iPad on flights, so that the Big Iron iPhone is big enough for me to watch content on at airports and traveling. And just also, you know, it does have an 8X. I think it's got an 8X camera now. So it's even more zoomage. Got a 200 millimeter lens or pseudo lens. It's not truly optical, but they use their tricky digital manipulation to get it. And me as a golf nerd wanting to take long range photos on the golf course of me and my golf buddies, well, that's what I need.
Yeah.
Need long range.
All right.
So anyway,
enough. There's a rationale.
Enough of that. Let's, before we get to your Vikings, and we got a lot to talk about, let me first start with a number I don't believe is real, but apparently I've checked it is. Negative 0.2 yards. What is negative 0.2 yards refer to? Do you know, Bueller?
Only because you texted it to me earlier.
Ah, you saw it. Okay, you know it.
Yes.
Apparently, the Raiders have the lowest yards before contact for running back carries. Not quarterback scrambles, not end arounds to wideouts. Running back carries, their average yards until contact is behind the line of scrimmage. No wonder Ashton Jeanty sucks balls right now in fantasy.
It is, in fact, 0.23 yards behind the line of scrimmage. The only one going backwards, Cincinnati Bengals, are second worst. And people are blaming Ashton Jeanty. Meanwhile, he's sitting
at a
30% broken tackle rate. The guy's doing everything he possibly can other than pass block, which he's not doing well. But yes, I mean, this is not a Jeanty problem. This is a shitty offensive line problem.
Yeah. The other thing is people are losing their minds over Omarion Hampton saying, how could I buy into the notion that the Chargers would be a run team because of Jim Harbaugh and Omarion Hampton was going to be the dude? And he is most definitely not the dude right now. But things change, you know.
Yeah, it's, well, okay. I mean, it's usually, well, cooler heads prevail, say. It's only been 2 weeks. Give him some time to learn the NFL. Sometimes running backs are awesome day one, and you can already see that they're going to be different. Hampton, for where he was drafted as a first rounder, I expected him to be a difference maker already.
Right.
Haven't really seen it. And if you want to see Hampton get I'm telling you, I've already diagnosed his game. This is a level nobody cares about but me.
Okay.
And now hopefully like one of your listeners, you get that guy running laterally and it is game over. Hampton, all you have to do is force him outside. He has no lateral speed.
Really?
No footwork. He's great if he's going straight
up
or
and
near
down.
Straight.
Right.
And you get him turned outside and it's game over for Hampton.
Yeah. This running back class was supposedly generational and it's off to a stumbling slow start. Now, Quinshon Judkins, who showed good flashes last week, may change that because he was a late arrival after his legal troubles and then holding out until literally the last minute. So we'll see about that. It's just not a running back league anymore. LaDainian Tomlinson ain't walking through that door, Charge. Purple Jesus ain't walking through that door, okay?
The Eagles won the Super Bowl running the ball with Saquon
with one
Barkley
guy,
and their quarterback.
There's two guys in the league, and that's it. Barkley.
Saquon.
It's Barkley and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry had a shit day.
Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Bijan, I guess. We're not, but the league used to be stud backs all over the place. And I just would love to know a football insider's why is that? You could say, well, because it's a passing league now. It's got to be more than that. You would think, a team would say, look, we want to win by not having to rely on a $53 million quarterback who might break his Sergeant Hulk-a-toe and be out for the rest of the season. Because that's where the Bengals are, in Fuckedville.
By the way, that's Fucktown.
Is. Oh, okay. Smaller version or larger version.
Right.
Fuckville is small, population, 6'10". They're much more. I just think, you know.
I think I'd rather live in Fucksburg.
Fucksburg?
Sounds way funnier to me.
Fucksburg. East Fucksburg? That's where I live. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, I will try to, I'm going to try to refute you again. I think most teams, if they could run the ball, would.
Has
the NFL set passers up for success at a level that has never been seen before? Absolutely. We treat quarterbacks like this precious commodity. You can never be hurt. They can never be interfered with.
Right.
That is a fact. But I think if you ask most teams, do you want to have a dominating running game? They'd be like, oh God, yes. That's exactly what I want to be able to do. I don't want to have to put my quarterback into a position where he's got to throw his arm out of socket 45 times like Joe Flacco has done in back-to-back games. I think teams want to be able to establish a running game. It's just, it's harder. Running backs get hurt. It's hard to block. I just think it's harder to come by those generational workhorse running backs like Adrian Peterson or Christian Okoye. Those guys, I think those are tough finds.
What about an artificial rule that, or just a de-emphasize, like what if the NFL said, we're going to liberalize holding for the offense on running plays? Just a point of principle. We're going to make it easier to run on purpose. We're just not going to call as many holding penalties on runs. That might work to balance it out.
You'd probably have to define that some way, but I think that would be really fun if you could have offensive linemen just pulling down defensive linemen and letting some big back just gallop over those that guy on the ground. It'd be great. I mean, I love power running.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we love the passing game and the Hail Marys and the deep passes and, man, there's something so gratifying about football at its core essence, a power running back just mowing down guys, breaking tackles, dragging guys 4 yards.
It's, Chuck Foreman when you were a kid watching the Vikings. For me, John Riggins for the Redskins. And Larry Zonka.
Riggins, absolutely. Riggins was the perfect example of that, right?
Yeah.
He's this Cam Scataboo kid is the closest thing to Riggins we've seen. He's starting to get the ball now, and he's really fun. He powered through some tacklers on Sunday, and it was glorious.
Did you ever see the warm-up, or not warm-up, but the stunt video that he would do? He would warm up by running against telephone poles. Did you ever see that?
What? No.
Yes.
What do you mean running against them? Like he would just run into telephone poles, like not break a shoulder. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, here you go. Cam Scataboo runs into telephone poles.
He would put his brother's shoulder pads on, then he would run into telephone poles. Once he got onto the field, it was no surprise the punishment he inflicted on his own body and everybody else.
That's his mom right there. You probably couldn't hear that down the line.
I could not.
Okay. No. But yeah, that was his mom saying, yeah, he used to put his brother's football gear on and practice running into telephone poles.
Telephone poles.
He runs like a guy who wants permanent life altering CTE. And by golly, he's going to go get it no matter what.
He's going to find it.
What a great name too. Scataboo. Cam Scataboo and the look and everything else. Okay. Enough fiddle faddle, enough wasting time. Let's get to the meat of it. Charge. Your Vikings are in a world of hurt after 2 weeks.
Literal world of hurt. This is a team that's been about as healthy as any team since Kevin O'Connell got here. And it looks like this for Sunday. Left tackle, we're down to third stringer. Our left tackle is the left tackle's out because he did an ACL last year and isn't ready to come back yet. The guy who was designated to replace him until he came back is also out. So we're down to third string guy protecting the blind side of Carson Wentz. Just the quarterback you need to resurrect your franchise. He is on his sixth team in 6 years. And somehow Zabe has made a start for every one of those 16.
No one's ever done this before. I said right here on the podcast yesterday to the uninitiated, to the casual or non-football fan, their reaction might be, oh, really? He must be really good. A lot of teams really like him. Wow. No, it's the opposite, actually. Like, you wouldn't understand. The European mind can't comprehend why a guy who would be on six different teams actually is bad.
Yeah, and start for all at least one game for all six different teams. This is very similar to the old, you have to be a pretty good pitcher to lose 20 games. You remember that old
ass? Yeah, exactly.
It's very similar to that. Vikings also without their one starting cornerback, a starting pass rusher in Andrew Van Ginkle.
Their
Hall of Fame bound safety, Harrison Smith, who is out with a personal reason and is not
personal reason.
A personal health issue. I'm going to text you what the health issue is, but we cannot say.
Can't say it. Okay.
What it is.
Well, I mean, if it's a health issue, then I'm more sympathetic. I am not sympathetic of the modern athlete getting paid millions and millions of dollars to just have time to deal with personal issues that are non-health related. Like, oh, you know, my cat died, or I've got an issue with my uncle. Like, fuck you. You're a pro. You're getting paid tons of money. It's a job. Show up to work, deal with your personal stuff on the side like everyone else in the world does. Oh, look at that. Short oh, that's season. What it is. Yeah. You know, that
excuse
kind of...
Excuse the spelling.
That kind of issue, you could have been public with that. That wouldn't have been too embarrassing, but whatever. No. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, his call, right? But
that
I don't,
said,
I don't.
And you glossed over your left tackle, Christian Darrisaw. His replacement got abused on Sunday night. But the biggest thing is this mystery ankle on good old J.J. McCarthy. Do you believe it?
I do believe it. It's not a mystery ankle.
I saw the play. I saw the play that got him.
He went into the blue medical tent.
Right.
He got taped up in game.
But his second to last play, he was moving without any noticeable limp.
Yes. Well, maybe he's just a tough guy.
So you don't think your coach is realizing, whoa, boy, kid's in over his head, swimming in deep water. Let's not ruin him and give him a couple weeks to recompose. You don't think that this is cover for benching? You don't? Not at all?
No, but.
Because that is the conventional opinion on this. You know that.
I don't think that is the conventional opinion. I think most people believe that it is the high ankle sprain that's been reported. He will probably not play. The Vikings have got a game against the Bengals. Then they go to Ireland and they play a game there.
Right.
Then they go to London, play a game there. Then they go on bye week, and then we will see J.J. McCarthy again.
Okay.
And that's
more importantly, do you think 8 quarters in, one good one, 7 pretty stinky, do you think he's it?
Oh, man, Zabe, that is a tough call. I mean, okay, equivocating is the right answer right now because the sample size is way too small.
Correct.
And the dude's been under extraordinary pressure from a bad offensive line that's gotten him, you know, almost no young kid
right.
can succeed. He's the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL. I just think, you know, if you had to ask me right now, like, okay, career trajectory for J.J. McCarthy, I don't like what I've seen.
Yeah.
The accuracy is in particular has been bad.
Really bad.
That's really bad.
Okay.
And, you know, but it's so early. I mean, there's no.
Is there Sam Darnold regret now that you are looking at what he's doing 2-0 again, small sample size? Where did you stand when it came time to choosing? Did you stand on the table and say, don't let this guy leave? Or did you say, it's time?
No, I said you invested the 10th overall pick in the draft to J.J. McCarthy. And unless you saw something before he wrecked his ankle last year that made you say this guy's not going to work out and this guy's a disaster, then you had to go invest in J.J. McCarthy. And it was going to cost you. I mean, Darnold signed a $100 million deal. I mean, that was a huge investment for the Seahawks.
How many years? 3 years? Is he a $30 million quarterback?
Yeah, I think that's right in the right ballpark for him.
Because you know who else? And it's a lot, but it's cheaper than the top rate for that position, which is 50. And the difference between 50 and 30, I don't think is $20 million worth of production. Because even though the Bengals pack up, Jake, what's his name, came in and threw
Browning.
Three picks. Jake Browning threw three picks. He still delivered the game-winning drive with the help of a very bad PI call against Travis Hunter, and he moved the offense. I mean, I don't think there's a gap of $20 million in production. I think it's just the arbitrary way that the quarterback market is broken out, that quarterbacks you like, but he's not a star, will get $30 million-ish, and the stars that are deemed stars by the media get $50.
In some cases, they are stars. I mean, Josh Allen's a star. Lamar Jackson's a star. Well, those are great quarterbacks.
Well, those are the best of the best. I'm talking about Tua making nearly 50.
Tier twos.
Okay. And they're like, wow, you know, probably shouldn't have done that. There's probably a couple other examples out there. You know, the guy that's the best bargain, best bang for the buck right now is no doubt Baker freaking Mayfield.
Oh, God. How many teams have regret about not jumping on him when things didn't work out in Cleveland?
I saw a Viking fan post dated when he was released by Carolina with a Photoshop of Baker Mayfield in purple saying, I don't know, am I crazy or should we maybe think about picking him up? And I'm like, you and a lot of teams probably are now retroactively going, Jesus, why didn't we think there was something there? I have total respect for his career arc. And I sent you a clip of him talking about how he had to be humbled in his football career and how he had to seek God to really change his perspective on life and be a better person overall. And I remember the clip. Somebody said, never forget this. And they showed him lining up doing reps for Carolina as a scout team wide receiver because they literally had Yeah, look it up, Charge.
Wow.
That's how far he had fallen. And yet, even when the dipshit Panthers, with the dipshit owner that is David Tepper, who's got the worst owner record since he bought the team of any franchise, like in NFL history, they decided, well, I don't know, got no space for him. We've given up on him. We got to use him. Hey, go run a practice team rep at wide receiver. Guess what Baker Mayfield did? He got down on a three-point stance, and he gave it a go, which shows you he's a pro, which shows you that he had been humbled, but that he was grounded and saying, okay, I'm going to be a pro, and this is what they're telling me to do, and until they cut me, guess what? I'm going to do it. That's incredible maturity right there. Then he goes to the Rams. They have to start him in a pinch, and it's like, yes, oh, shit. That. They're like, oh, shit, this guy can still ball. And then he gets his chance in Tampa, and he's...
He won that game, by the way.
Yeah.
Won that Rams game, and he had been on the team for like 2 days. Something like that. I mean, it was bonkers. He was not expected to play. I think the starter some series of pins fell so that a bunch of the other quarterbacks all got hurt. They brought in Mayfield on, I think, one day. And then he came in and won that game for the Rams. And I think the starter got knocked out early, and he had to play most of that game, if memory serves right.
Yeah. I'm looking at AI. It might have been a joke, but there was a photo of him in practice, basically, you know, doing that. They threw him away. Carolina threw him away. And now look at him. By the way, you're a big game guy. And so you love the gamification. That's why you created Guillotine Leagues and all these other wonderful fantasy games. And you have so many board games. By the way, all the board games get set up and put in a new house there in Utah?
Well, they're in a closet. But as you may recall, I sold half of my collection when I left Minnesota.
Half, Eddie!
That was hard.
Half!
That was hard to do. That was emotional. It was like chopping off arms every time somebody walked out with a new game. But
you kept your favorite game, Monopoly. The gold edition, because it's the best, most interesting strategic. What's that? He hates Monopoly. Hates it, huh?
It's such a bad game. It's such a bad game. It's horrible. I've talked about it many times before.
Has no strategy. It's no strategic arc. It is land on the properties, buy the properties, and then pummel your opponents into submission. End of game.
And hope you roll well. And just it's so much luck of the dice, too, which I hate. And
I think you once said Charge Chutes and Ladders has more complexity than Monopoly.
it really does in Monopoly. The only thing to do in Monopoly is decide whether or not you're going to try to steal from the bank, which is the
steal from the bank.
Somebody's the banker, right? You just start sliding a couple hundreds off when nobody's looking. Hey, over there, popcorn. Slide a couple of hundreds off. That's when Monopoly is finally interesting, is when somebody's trying to steal from the bank.
Right. So as a game guy that loves the nuances of how do you win the game, how do you work the rules to your favor, you had to appreciate what I'm pretty sure the Buccaneers and Todd Bowles did on Monday night, in which they let the Texans score on a running play from about the 23-yard line, maybe, late in the game, with just over 2 minutes to go. They looked like they gave effort, but it wasn't much effort. And because it was not near the goal line, and I think that at that point the Texans hadn't envisioned the thought of they might let us score, which would be bad for us because they were in field goal position.
Right.
They could have exhausted once they're on the other side of the 2 minute warning, all the timeouts that the Buccaneers had wisely kept in their pocket. And so they're like, fuck it, we'll take the ball. This is a move that used to only be the rarest of rare moves in true desperation for NFL teams, and yet it is often very much the strategically sound move, right?
Vikings did it on Sunday as well. The Vikings allowed their opponent to score as well on a rushing touchdown, which they did not try to stop from about the 10-yard line or so, something in that ballpark. You know who did it first and made it acceptable?
Who?
It's in the Super Bowl. Oh, I was going to say it was Belichick, but it wasn't.
Was it Packers-Broncos?
Yes, it was Packers-Broncos. That's exactly what I was thinking. I think it was Packers-Broncos. It was the first time I saw that. I remember seeing a team allow the other team to score so they get the ball back.
Yeah, and I think the offenses were not prepared to go, oh, shit, wait a minute, now what do we do? And then guys had to learn to slide down.
At the one.
At the one to avoid that. Of course, kickers being what they are today with Brandon Aubrey, I read a tweet yesterday. Somebody said, this is the most fucked up fantasy tweet I've ever seen. The person tweeted, I have two kickers, and I started the one not named Brandon Aubrey. What am I doing? And they're like, okay, A, why do you have two kickers? B, why would you not start Brandon Aubrey? And C, why would you tweet about this? Why admit this, for God's sake?
Right. It's gotten to the point where with some kickers now, and kickers have been such a huge story of this season. The missed kicks have been egregious and game-changing. And then kickers just knocking in 60-yarders like they're the new 50-yarders, and it's not close.
Yeah.
Aubrey from 64 is just like, it's automatic.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's
changed a lot. And then they made sure to let everyone know that Cameron Dicker the kicker, is actually Chinese because he was born.
They did?
Yeah, did you not see this? Somebody put on a graphic card of Cameron Dicker, who I think is 94 for his first 100 kicks in the NFL, one of the highest success rates coming out of the gate for the first, you know, for the first 100 kicks for a kicker. Cameron Dicker was born in Shanghai to, I guess, a service member father or an American who was living over there. I mean, he's as white as any Todd, Chad, or Brad roaming the landscape. They're like, yeah, he's Chinese. I'm like, yeah, not that kind of Chinese.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you happen to be born there because your one parent was doing service
right
at the port does not make you Chinese.
All right, and then I want to end on this today. This is a story.
I got one other I got to sneak in before.
Okay, you sneak it in, then I'll end on my finishing note. What else do you have for today?
What is, in your mind, a generally acceptable spoiler alert timeline? How many years before like a movie or a TV show, you know, can you say, oh, this guy's going to just hypothetically get beheaded?
Hold on. Is it a sporting event, a popular TV show, or a movie?
In this case, I'm going to go book.
A book?
I know.
Spoilers on a book you read?
Books.
Oh, my God. I mean, I think,
or movie. I think it would be fine for books, movies, TV shows to be lumped together.
Generally, there is no such thing. You either read it or keep your ears closed and mind your own business, and whatever happens, happens. We have a guy in the text chat who doesn't like other guys mentioning who won golf tournaments because he's like, I'm going to watch this later tonight. Of course, he's single, no kids. So, you know, he's got the time to do that kind of shit. And he had a very egregious request of, hey, come on, don't spoil it. I haven't watched it yet. And everyone else is like, how long do we have to embargo this basic sports information from you, buddy?
For sports, I would say the spoiler alert time is zero. You don't get that luxury because that's half the fun of sports, is sharing the moment with everybody else.
Get off your phone if that's the answer. Right. Yeah. If you're worried about it, you got to get off your damn phone. Okay. I think for movies, it's a month. I think for TV shows, it's, I don't know. 6 episodes. How about that?
6 episodes. Okay.
Generally speaking,
you know, that would be 6 weeks, right? I mean, most shows come out once a week, right?
Right.
I want to be careful about this. This book, I'm going to do spoiler alert on this book. It was written in 1929. So it's 96 years ago. So I think I can spoiler alert this. I've never actually read Agatha Christie. So I decided I wanted to read classic detective, like everybody's in the house, like Murder in the Mansion, and they wanted to do, you know, all the people that are in the house are suspects.
I think I read that one, the butler in the conservatory with a lead pipe. Did I get it right?
Exactly. Well, close. The butler did it. And so I'm reading and I am wondering, because the butler is a prime suspect. And I'm wondering to myself, is this going to be where the butler did it came from? Is the murder of Roger Ackroyd, 1929. This is the first big hit for Agatha Christie. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be the butler did it. But it turned out to be fascinating. It's a really well-regarded book by Agatha Christie anyway, like Death on the Nile and Murder on the Orient Express, the murder of Roger Ackroyd. But here's where it got fascinating at the end. It's a really good story, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's told from the viewpoint of Watson, effectively, to Sherlock Holmes, this doctor who is a medical doctor who's working with Hercule Poirot.
Hercule Poirot is showing
up all the clues and everything, and we're hearing about it all through the doctor. And we find out near the end of the book that at the end of every day of this investigation, he's keeping a diary of the investigation. And then at the very end, spoiler alert from 96 years ago.
Spoiler.
Yes. We find out.
Agatha Christie, spoiler.
That's right. We find out that this is basically the genesis of the unreliable narrator. That phrase, have you heard of the phrase, the unreliable narrator?
I vaguely have, yes.
This is for when the person who's obviously telling you the story, the narrator, is not giving you all of the facts, is not giving you all of the truth. And it turns out the doctor did it. And you don't know until the end unless you've somehow sussed this out. The guy telling the story did it. And not only is that awesome, the book you're reading is the diary he was keeping every night. And I'm like, wow, what a brilliant turn. Agatha Christie, Murder of Roger Ackroyd. It was super fun. I loved it. And never saw the surprise coming at the end. I know hearing about other people's books are really boring, but I thought it was great to hear the genesis of the unreliable narrator.
All right, Charge. I love it. Thank you, my friend. Any plugs and promotions you would like to utilize at this moment in time?
I think people should listen to the Zabecast. It's brilliant, and particularly Wednesday editions.
They already are listening. How about Fantasy Football Weekly, best damn fantasy podcast out there? Yours.
It's great. Yeah, the Chop podcast for Guillotine Leagues. Very, very good for anybody in a Guillotine League. We highly recommend the Chop podcast. Lots of fun, lots of insight. Okay. How much should you bid on Josh Allen this week?
I've got some major holes to fill in my fantasy team on our Whiskey League, because I've lost Kittle and I've now lost Austin Eckler. So, yeah.
Oh, those are huge losses.
Yeah. No shit. Thanks for noticing. All right, Charge, you're the best, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.